This is the editorial and Richard is reading it. One of my favourite stories about the way imagination works, which may well be apocryphal, concerns a group of scientists at a major university struggling to develop new polymers. Then they invented a new one, but no one had any idea what it was for or how it could be used. It rested in a bucket, staring up at them, and they stared back. "How about," said one of them, "we stick an electric current in it?" So they did, and it glowed brightly. "Okay," said another, "how about we stick a TV aerial in it?" So they did, and suddenly, on the surface of the bucket, a picture appeared. None of that chain of events seems logical, but that polymer is now used as the screen on small medical devices to show readouts. Although I suspect if you spread it all over your wall, you could probably have a very thin TV, but I'm not about to try. And that's the thing with imagination. It's the moment when the synapses of the brain defy logic, surf the possibilities of the world, and come up with an unexpected idea. And he then gives a number of examples of words beginning with A and I in the next paragraph. When I was young, my imagination was probably at its finest, and I was encouraged to settle down and apply it to my education using my intelligence as necessary. When I left education, I was encouraged to achieve and inform and apply my intellect and to absorb information in order to continue learning for the rest of my life. But now another pair of A and I's have come along in the form of artificial intelligence, the behemoth that promises to be the saviour of us all. And yet I am not so sure. Having algorithms as part of my degree work, I understand implicitly how AI can be useful, but also has to be viewed with suspicion. After all, it is trawling every known fact and opinion known to man. But it is using a data bank, mostly the net, which is as full of untruths and crackpot ideas as it is of truth and fact, and it is barely moderated. It's like a drain. What you get out depends entirely on what you put in. Recently, this dilemma was exposed at our dinner table by a learned professor who bemoaned the fact that every essay she receives from her students and graduates has to be challenged. Did you use AI to help create your work? And often the answer, wrapped in ifs and buts, is yes. I know that deep down everyone wants everything done for them. After all, effort is exhausting. But if AI does your homework and gets you a degree, you haven't actually learnt anything except how to use AI as your proxy. And if AI solves all the problems in your life to date, how are you equipped to deal with the unexpected in the future when the internet has been turned off by some lunatic cyber hacker? To me, AI is similar to the invention of printing, or radio, or the internet itself. It's the useful tool of the moment and should be used as such. It's not an all-reaching panacea, and it has no emotional or corporeal existence outside your computer screen. It's an intellectual sex toy and should be viewed askance. And it's not foolproof. I had a long interchange with ChatGPT about a film I made about the recording of West Side Story, and eventually ChatGPT was convinced I had actually performed in the musical, which I'm sorry to say I haven't. So beware the internet-bearing gifts, but by all means use this new wonder to make your life better and to help you in your efforts to widen horizons and the well-being of others. Next month I will write of fireworks and Christmas. Or will I? Maybe IA will tell you.